Hello and welcome to the Dive Live. Wonderful crowd here showing up today. We also have a special guest, Medios, as well as our regular hosts, Azale and Mark Z here with me.
I'm a host now. Last time you intro'd me, you called me a guest or something.
You've been promoted. Really well done.
Called you worse things than guests.
I'm still a guest.
You on there.
But it's good to be here. Thank
you. But you're an esteemed guest.
It's because if we make Medios a host, then he's going to kick off one of us and take our job.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We can't get too close.
Can a pro player be a host? Is that two different jobs? I don't think you can be a host and a pro player.
Yeah. We'll keep that line. How long are you going to continue to be a pro player?
I'm probably still 30. Okay. Maybe. If I can.
That's a good cutoff.
What if you're still popping off when you're 30? Just like as soon as you turn 30,
go
just
till
retiring
60.
On your birthday? Oh, it just doubles up?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
All right. Well, this episode is actually going to air right after the third place match, so we figured we'll actually start off the episode by predicting the third place match so people can immediately start flaming us as soon as the show starts.
Perfect.
For being either right or wrong.
Yeah.
Do you want to start us
I'm
off,
starting?
Mark?
Okay. I think it's going to be a pretty close series, but I think I'm concerned about CLG's slow start in their previous series versus C9, so I'm actually going to go clutch 3-2.
I'm also going to go clutch. I think probably 3-1.
Everybody's getting on this clutch train.
They look good.
Is there any other reason? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. To me, the clutch versus Liquid series was actually really close. And it seemed like clutch still had, you know, like a lot of fire in them after the series.
Yeah.
It seemed like they weren't happy with it, like the result, but they still had something to prove. So I think they're going to be trying really hard for this one, where CLG just kind of looked defeated after their match versus C9.
I actually think CLG will win, and I think CLG will win because Clutch I think played great in playoffs, but they were so dependent on a couple key picks, right? I think Qiyana, Rumble, you know, even maybe Gangplank, but Qiyana and Rumble were the two main. And they got basically every single win. Actually, I think every single win in playoffs were with one of those two picks, and I think that like now having seen the strength of those, you can do things like drop the Yuumi ban perhaps and actually permaban out these two.
Yeah,
and I think that CLG, you know, taking away some of those power picks should have an advantage in the series, but I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, if Clutch has actually developed new picks and has new stuff that they can then, you know, try to make you ban out to open up some of their other ones.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the exciting parts about that team that I know Mark and Mios are talking about. They're very willing to pick up the new champion super quickly. So I think it's going to be close. I'm also going to go with CLG though. I think the longer time.
What a shock.
The longer time is actually going to help CLG. Like you're talking about, I think they are going to probably permaban Rumble. And then Power of Evil did play a Qiyana game.
Yeah, that's true too.
Still, Demonte was a better Qiyana. I think hands down, Demonte was better Qiyana player than Power of Evil. You know, he's been playing it longer. He was one of the first ones to bring it out in pro play anywhere in the world. But I think they will be more prepared for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you can take it away, that opens up another ban as well. But mostly what we're going to talk about here today is going to be the finals. So we're going to be talking a lot about C9 TL. And, you know, where you guys think that one's going to go.
Starting off,
we don't have to start off with predictions. You can start off with
what
you want.
We can talk about
the previous matchups a little bit, right? Like, C9 obviously did have a 2-0 in the regular season, which I think is giving them and some of their fans a lot of confidence.
Yeah, it feels like C9, like, if you ignore historical context, C9 should be the favorite coming in. Like, if you look at just this split only, you know, they have the 2-0 over them in the regular season. They played the more compelling semifinal match. They looked more dominant. They play a faster-paced game, and while TL did get first place in the regular season, at least in how these two teams played, looking at it, it looks like it should favor C9, but then you add in, like, three-time LCS champions back-to-back-to-back, then they did well at MSI. It becomes very hard to start predicting against TL.
Yeah,
I think I would probably go with C9 if I was going to do a prediction.
Oh, big surprise.
Yeah, I mean, even if I didn't think they were going to win, I'd still predict it. But I think they will win because, you know, like Mark said, their semifinal was a lot more one-sided than TL's. And it just seems like their playstyle might fit the patch a bit better. Like, it seems like they're the more aggressive team and should work.
Yeah. So let me pose this question to you, because the reason in the C9 Team Liquid matchup why people will usually pick Team Liquid is always the bottom lane. That's the main reason everybody always cites. Doublelift and CoreJJ are the best bottom lane in the league, and they're going to try and take advantage of that fact. versus Cloud9. Cloud9 did show versus especially CLG, like they are willing to attack bottom lanes. They had Taliyah mid lane roaming down super early, and also picked Sneaky and Zazel the Caitlyn Morgana lane. So they definitely have defenses or have strategies where Cloud9 can also focus that area. But do you guys think the bottom lane is going to be the determining factor?
I actually don't really think so. I think more likely than not, TL's bot lane will win the majority of the bot lane matchups.
Uh-huh.
I expect C9's drafts to be good enough that like they're not getting completely blown out in the laning phase. Like maybe they lose their turret at 10 minutes is like the kind of stuff that you're looking at for TL's advantages in the bot lane. But I'm way more concerned about what Sven and Niski can get done in the top side of the map and even roaming down to the bot lane. And I'm way more concerned about that determining the series than like Doublelift having a 20 CS advantage and like some turret plating, which I think will happen almost every time. And that's, you know, a great thing to fall back on. But if Niski and Sven kill three people in the early game, mm-hmm. that's, I think, what will lead to C9's win or loss if they're not able to do that.
Right, something that I'm interested to see between these bot lanes is they're two of the teams that have used the Sona bot lanes the most in the LCS.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious to see, you know, how that's going to go. Is it going to be a high priority on Sona in the draft? Is one team going to ban it? Are both teams going to ignore it? So I'm not really sure how that's going to go. And if there is a Sona bot lane, then I feel like that would favor C9, because usually with Sona bot lane, you kind of just want to leave it alone and play to the other side of the map. So I feel like C9 does that style better. TL is more of like a bot lane focused team.
Yeah, I mean, it could be interesting because not a lot of teams are actually playing Sona these days anymore. I mean, besides really TL, like they have a game or two, but like
Kane will pick that Sona.
Yeah, I mean, but not a lot of people are actually playing it. I do think though, if C9 were to go it, like one of the weaknesses of their bottom lane has, I think, sometimes been their Sona laning phases. Like they haven't always been super dominant with it. They haven't always really been super comfortable in lane. So I do think that there's an ability, you know, as TL to try to utilize like really heavy pushing lanes and try to punish that, even if it's not through ganking, but through things like the Caitlyn pick, right? And we've seen Caitlyn gain a lot of priority recently. Like CLG has been playing it a lot. You know, more teams are picking it up, not only like the Caitlyn Morgana stuff as a counter to Zyra Mercon, but I do think that you can play, you know, Caitlyn with another range support and actually push on Sona Tahmkanj or Sona Taric or whatever, mm-hmm. and just try to speed up the game to a point where maybe the Sona won't be as relevant if you're able to take their tower, start moving around the maps, start taking other towers.
The support position as well has seen a fair amount of innovation, it feels like, in playoffs, where Zaya Rakan is a big threat at getting 1-2'd on red side. So some people ban Rakan on red side because they're getting counterpicked on blue now. So like that has started happening, because then blue will just take it and start banning other stuff out. So there's been this weird evolution of priority around supports in the bot lane, where people are taking Morgana, then Morgana's getting banned now, Karma's getting taken. We see Vulcan start busting out Leona to go a more kill-oriented approach to a lot of the range supports that are starting to crop up. So I think that will be really interesting for people like Core JJ and Zazel, who are really good on engaged champions.
I'm also really interested to see if Volibear support is going to show up, because that has actually become, you're laughing, but it's become really popular in other regions.
Okay, it's a Yuumi counterpick.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say, because like it is really strong to Yuumi, but everyone is still permabanning red, like Yuumi on red side, right? So like, why would you not have practiced that for finals to then leave off the Yuumi ban?
I feel like Volibear support is free to roll, not going to lie.
I mean, it's doing really well in a lot of different regions.
In LCK, yeah, they pick it like most games.
Yeah, I mean, the E as an interrupt for Yuumi's reattach is pretty powerful, right? And you're relatively tanky. Your early game, like all-ins and skirmishing is okay. Obviously, like these types of like lane counters or whatever don't always work out, but it has been fairly successful, and it has been showing up in regions outside the LCK as well. It's been played in LPL. It's getting played in LEC.
I love how Medios is not about Volibear at all. Smiling more and more.
No. I'm listening.
I'm not believing you, but I'm listening.
I mean, tell me why you don't think she played.
Well, I just compare it with the other support champs you could have. And I feel like Volibear, like, I would take a Braum over a Volibear any day. Or you could take something lane dominant, like you were saying, like the Morgana, Karma, something like that. And Volibear just seems kind of one-dimensional as far as what he does. And I see a lot of games where Volibear support doesn't get going. Like, he doesn't get his lane advantages, and then he kind of just runs at you and dies.
He can flash at you every 5 minutes.
And then die.
That's why I'm not a huge fan of it, especially for TL. Like, maybe if C9 wanted to bust it out one game, I'd be like, okay, C9, you're more of like the crazy team, go for it. But TL, I want them to almost always have good team fighting, and I don't want Core JJ to have this champion who just presses Q and runs at them as like what his playmaking in in the later stages of the game. I want him to have more agency than that. So I hope Core JJ is not on Polybear.
Selling it short. You can still block dashes from other champions as well.
You can do cool stuff, but like Poppy can play. Poppy can do the same thing. Give that to Impact. Play Poppy top. Press W.
I actually do think that the Caitlyn might be a contested pick in this series because even in the C9 CLG series, it was getting a little like bit of priority as far as the picks go. I remember it was taken in the first phase a couple times, and was it banned? I don't know. Might have been banned. But she has a really strong pick right now, and like you were saying, if you want to get priority bottom, Caitlyn's pretty much your go-to because she just perma pushes, takes your plates, traps you under turret, and it's pretty hard to lane against.
Yeah, and that was the main thing that C9 used in their like bottom lane focused victory that they had over CLG was getting that for Sneaky. So I think it probably will be a high priority. Let me remind you though, Team Liquid are the only team with a Volibear win in the LCS. It was Impact Volibear with the full Glacial composition.
Well, with full Glacial, Volley's much better.
Yeah, exactly. Chain stuns, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously we're not going to get anything that crazy, but I am excited to see if any of the teams have really been preparing any different picks or trying to actually prep around some of these different champions that they aren't necessarily playing a lot of. You know, one of the things that obviously has been becoming a really popular pick around the world is Qiyana, right? And we haven't really been seeing Jensen play. I don't think he's played it at all.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's played it on stage, but I do think
Qiyana's, he's played it in
I don't think
solo
she's the hardest champion to pick up, to be honest. A lot of her combo is targeted. You know, you just EQ.
Yeah.
That's guaranteed to connect, and then WQ. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Jensen play it. He's always been pretty good at those, like, assassin-type champions. So I kind of expect to see them try it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would make a lot of sense, especially because we know that Nisqy is someone who will bring this out. And it, to me, it's been more about, like, that's just not the style that TL has been playing, rather than, oh, I don't think Jensen can play it, right? It has been, ever since he's moved over from C9 to TL, it's felt like he's been more kind of playing a controlled role and more for, like, team fighting in the later stages. He's playing less aggressive in lane and these sorts of things. Whereas, obviously, C9 is playing so heavily around mid lane with Svenskeren and Nisqy. And both times where they did play, the game was actually decided pretty heavily around mid lane. We had the Qiyana game into TF, which was super dominant, and then we also had the Veigar game into Corki, which Nisqy got really strong in as well. So I do think that there's got to be some kind of pre-planning coming out from TL around this and how they actually want to play and try to answer that. And we know that Smithy is always kind of known as this jungler who can track and shut down opposing junglers, so perhaps they could try to take like the defensive end of that 2v2.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the hype video that they put out for the finals, by the way?
The Riot one?
It's super good. Yeah. I especially liked the Nisqy versus Jensen trash talk that went on.
Yeah, you need ego checks.
Yeah, exactly. Because Nisqy came in as a replacement for Jensen, and everyone was like, oh my god, Cloud9 are screwed without Jensen. You know, Team Liquid just stole their best player. But Nisqy has been so good, and you're talking about him being the determining factor in the previous two matchups versus Team Liquid. I think that is really true. He brought out, you know, the different picks, as well as Svenskeren playing so well around mid lane right now.
I think Svenskeren deserves a lot of credit, and I actually think going into the finals,
MVP perhaps?
Maybe.
That's some good
I think
credit.
Going into the finals, that jungle matchup and mid actually is what I'm going to be looking the most at, because it does seem like C9 has been able to just play the mid jungle duo better than pretty much any other team, especially the later half of this split, because picks like Qiyana that Nisqy's pulling off, like, those don't really work unless you are on the same page as your jungler, because, you know, you need to be able to all in, you need to not be getting camped. And so Svenskeren's been doing a really good job at enabling Nisqy to play, and it just seems like Jensen and Nick Smithy might not have that same level of synergy, and that could be pretty hard for them.
Well, they also have like different play styles too. I mean, we talk a lot about like the Qiyana, you know, Akali more aggressive picks for Nisqy, Sylas and stuff like that, but he also had like the Taliyah game in that tiebreaker game, and I think he can play more styles, Veigar being an example of that. He tried a Vladimir game that didn't work out somewhat recently, so like he does have more available to him than just like I must play all in champion that snowballs. And so I think that's something that TL has to keep in mind going forward in the draft. I'm sure C9 will open with some of those kinds of picks, but there's more flexibility available to C9 than is sometimes given credit for, I think.
So, what do you guys think the mid lane picks are going to be in regards to Corki and Azir, because those are two champs that have been very strong lately. And I remember in the C9 match against CLG, they banned both pretty much every game. And for Liquid, when Jensen's on Corki, he has some pretty aggressive Valkyries.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering.
Aggressive?
Yeah, yeah, just really getting in there. So I'm just wondering, you know, do you think those are going to be contested picks? Do you think they're going to be ignored, banned?
I think C9 is going to ignore it. I don't think that that is their bread and butter, right? Like, I don't think that they...
You don't think they'll even ban it?
Or? So that was a POE thing.
I think it could get some bans, but I think that was specifically a POE thing, because POE plays, like, almost, or had played almost exclusively control mages, right? And those are, like, the two best kind of, like, scaling POE-style champs. I think Jensen can be flexible enough that it's you're not just hard shutting him down by kind of like banning out this one play style. It may get attention, but it hasn't been a big pair of champions for C9, right? They really have not been playing Corki Azir hardly at all. They look for more early playmaking and kind of more early impact champions. So if anything, maybe some bans, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them let that go through, because if Jensen is going to play, you know, Corki or Azir, I think that kind of plays into C9's hand a little bit, in that they want to fight you 2v2 mid lane, right? And if you fight them early...
I actually think they would ban him if they want to play around mid, because one thing that the Corki and Azir have that a lot of other mids don't have is a lot of safety. Because, you know, if you're playing Qiyana and you see, like, the Gragas Predator show up over your head, if you're Azir, you can just kind of shuffle back onto your turret, you're fine, you're safe. And I think that's kind of what Liquid wants. They want something that can neutralize that pressure, whereas if you have to play another control mage that doesn't have that safety, you're a lot more vulnerable and you need a lot more attention from your team to kind of keep yourself safe.
The thing is, like, we showed Niski's kill chart, heat map of, like, kills and assists, and, like, yes, there's a lot around the mid lane, but there's also a ton in river, around in jungle, too, around other lanes and stuff, and so my concern is not, like, you know, if I was TL, like, oh, we're going to get killed with Corki in the mid lane. It's that they're going to go bot lane and I'm going to have a hard time following. Or Azir. Corki's a little bit better of a roamer than Azir, but it's more about the pressure loss and, like, the loss of priority that you can't really contest once they take the more aggressive stuff. And I think that's why it'll be one of those things where C9 doesn't want to play that way. They want to play aggressive. And TL doesn't want to have to play into it. They want to probably be able to match aggression with their own aggression. So I think... I expect it'll be one where both teams are kind of ignoring them. Ooh. And then they maybe go to them as their second option, like I was saying, where, like, oh, we lost a game or two trying to play a Kali into Sylas or something like that. Let's go a different look.
I think I'm a Meteos on this one. I feel like if we were on 9-16, then that would probably favor Cloud9. But 9-15, Corki and Azir are just so strong. You know, before the nerfs, there's a reason why they were so prevalent, right? They scale up to do so much damage. And like he's talking about, they are safe. So I feel like it's something that you can't really ignore on 9-15. And probably that we're still on this patch does, you know, Team Liquid are probably happier about that, because, like you guys are going over, you know, Cloud9 are all ready to kind of move into the future with a lot of their picks. And I think that Team Liquid actually will probably open with Corki Azir if they don't get banned out.
Mm. All right, I got a question here from the audience. This one's from Cody. He asks, how do you guys think Smithy will hold up against Sven Skaren? Like, you've played against both of them, so what do you kind of see as the difference between the players?
They're definitely good players. I think that Smithy has a bit more of a controlled playstyle, where he plays a lot to get his lanes ahead, to track the enemy jungler, to, you know, secure dragons, make sure his lanes do well, but he doesn't do a ton of extremely aggressive plays compared to Sven Skaren, where I feel like Sven is more the guy who's going to be just heavily ganking lanes, and so it's always interesting when those kind of styles mesh up, because... you know, if you try a lot of ganks, but they're all tracked and they don't work, then, you know, you get pretty behind.
And you get flamed hard by your team.
Yeah, you get flamed hard. But, I don't know. To me, I think Sven's been playing a bit better recently. So I have to imagine the jungle matchup's going to be a bit in C9's favor.
I think the other thing, too, is, like, we always talk about Sven Skaren in the early game, but he's also been the best late game jungler in my mind. We were watching the TSM C9 game in the middle of the season with Golden Glue, I think, backstage. He was on the analyst desk for it, and he was just like you know, in awe of like how C9 came back in that game, because it was just Sven finding these crazy engages over and over with Jarvan. And I think that's what he has in his advantage, and that's why C9 all split long has been good about coming back in games, because they find engages other people don't off his back. And even in the CLG series, in game four, he found a number of good flanks and engages.
And I mean, I think one of the big things is it doesn't just have to be him. That's very much C9's bread and butter, right? Like, I actually think that in the CLG game you're referring to, like, where CLG has this good siege comp with Caitlyn, they got multiple Varens, they never even cracked an inhibitor turret, and that was largely because Niski was finding really good flanks on Sylas with good soul and ultimates. Licorice was using Kled to engage from multiple different angles, so they're always like going to force fights. They're not a team that is going to sit back and just kind of bleed out the game, which I think sometimes can happen to some of the pro teams in our league, where, you know, they get back and they're too willing to concede things. Cloud9 will always fight you for that, and I think that is something that works really well for them, because they are able to coordinate really well in these team fights, and they are able to kind of play very, very aggressively and play in the face of their opponents.
Right. I'm also a little curious to see how the picks go as far as jungle, because I think that both junglers have a little bit different pools. I know that Xsmithie really likes playing stuff like Skarner, and Svenskeren leans more toward the Gragas type picks, and I think both of them play Jarvan a lot, so I'm not really sure how that's going to go. I think that C9 won their three games with Gragas against CLG, right?
Yeah, so they did something in the fourth game, or the third game. I forget what it was. But they also just kind of threw that game. That wasn't really a pick thing.
Yeah,
that
but it wasn't Gragas.
Yeah, it wasn't Gragas. You're right. Gragas would have won the game.
Gragas would have won the game. Yeah, so I know that Gragas is getting a lot more priority just kind of globally recently on patches. He's just got a lot of playmaking potential. He does a lot of damage early game. His Predator ganks are pretty hard to avoid. So I wonder if C9 is still going to look the same if TL decides to deny them that Gragas pick through either a ban or taking it away.
Do you not think that, like, you know, if you're throwing bans towards Gragas, that, like, you know, you can do similar things with J4 or even not Sejuani, but Sejuani's obviously, like, are still a pretty high priority pick?
I think you can do similar things, but Gragas is probably the strongest for C9 in that regard. I think that Liquid is pretty comfortable just playing the Jarvan. I don't know if Xsmithie has played a whole lot of Gragas. I assume he's, you know, he can play it, but I don't know if it's something that they prefer. I usually see him on like the Trundle or Skarner side of things. I think they're more comfortable on that role.
Yeah, I think it ties into the playstyle of the two teams, right? Because jungler is a role that really defines how you want to play the game. Like you're kind of touching on earlier, if you have a mid laner like Qiyana or any assassin, really, those laning phases rely on the threat of jungler ganks turning into kills, right? If Qiyana doesn't have a threat of a jungler coming, then you're not worried about, you know, the flash root combo. Meanwhile, Team Liquid usually have their eyes towards the longer games where they want Doublelift to come over stronger and they want a team fight with Doublelift while he's strong. So, you know, that's why they go Sejuani and Trundle for shredding tanks and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it works as well for, like, we were talking about the play in where C9 kept finding flanks in that team fight. There was one where Clutch tried to do the same thing, but Team Liquid was able to kite it out in the bot lane, also playing a Caitlyn comp, which is the same thing CLG was playing, and they just did a better job of, like, marking people on the flanks. I think, like, Jensen was doing it, and so was Smithy, and that's something that Trundle can do really well, is when someone's like on the flank looking for an angle and you just like run forward and throw a pillar at them, like it just kills that flank attempt. And I think it's really interesting how they both have these two different play styles, and we kind of hinted that where both teams played like a lesser version of the team that they're playing in finals in semifinals to kind of like get that prep in, which is why it's, I think what we were saying earlier, like a little concerning that TL was struggling so much versus Clutch, who a lot of people think is worse than C9.
All right, we got another question from the audience that's not exactly a question, but Azale, your shoes are dope. That's the whole question. Can you show them? Actually, get it.
Just crank them up.
Pull up.
They're like SpongeBob, right?
Here we go.
I was thinking you'd go around, but you can try.
I was going to pull it up for you.
Got my Mr. Krabs. Mr. Krabs shoes. Thank you.
Show them the plankton.
Let's show them the plankton. Yeah.
I've been hanging
out
with
dinosaur socks too.
I've been hanging out with Azale a lot this trip, and this is all he talks about. Anytime he goes anywhere, someone's like, hey, those are nice shoes. And he's like, let me show you plankton. I've heard that like 20 times.
Wait, actually, this question was sent by Azale.
No. Fraudulent. All right, we got another question here. This one's a good transition from Singular Brit. He says, looking at the top lane matchup, how do you guys think that is going to play out with Impact being such a rock?
So such a rock. Is he talking about Malphite getting buffed in the recent patch?
No, okay. Maybe not.
Honestly, though, people always talk about Impact as the rock for Team Liquid. I think that he has actually been a huge carry. Ever since MSI, Impact has been more of a pop-off player than Licorice. And it's crazy to say because in 2018, I was all aboard. You know, Licorice was the best top laner in the LCS. I think that's much more contested now. And I view Impact as actually a big threat for Team Liquid rather than it being, oh, Licorice, best top laner in the league, trying to gain some ground versus Impact, and Impact just playing defensively on weak side.
Yeah, I think that if I was going to compare the players linearly, I think Impact's looking a little stronger right now, especially because Licorice, like, you know, he had to take some time off during the season because of his wrist injuries and stuff like that. So I think that Impact's a little bit more solid now. But as a team, TL doesn't really play around top at all. So I think that if C9's able to, you know, get the mid priority and transfer it toward top like they've done so many of the games before, then Impact might have a hard time. But, you know, even in their last matchup, I think I remember Impact solo killing Licorice. So I assume in the 1v1, Impact will probably get an edge there.
Yeah. I was going to say the other thing, too, is while he has been playing more carry champions, a lot of them are not super creative, I think. Like, okay, he's playing Aatrox really well. He's playing Kennen really well. He's playing GP well. He's great at them. But I haven't seen him bust out the Kled or some of the newer picks that other people are trying in the top lane, which isn't a bad thing. But I think in a best of series, if you're trying to find some small advantage, like, it will not come from draft from Impact for the most part. It'll come from his in-game play, whereas C9 have that option to potentially find an advantage in draft through a top lane matchup.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a big reason why we haven't seen picks like the Kled is what Medios was saying. They don't actually play through top lane, right? So it's like the carries that he plays are relatively self-sufficient and don't always need to be really far ahead to actually have a lot of effect. If you're going to play Kled, you're pretty much like hard committing to playing through Kled, right? Like, this is not a champion that plays well from behind whatsoever. You want to snowball it. You want to be able to use the ult to force engages nonstop, and that is something that I think is pretty important and why it's kind of used more as a counter pick, where it feels like, you know, TL generally has more of a focus on team fighting and sieging to actually close out games. So I think, you know, we may not see that type of strategy as much.
Right, and I think another thing to touch on is, like you were saying with the picks, a lot of the picks that Impact has had a lot of success on actually got nerfed recently. The Kennen, Nico, Jace, these champions that are very self-sufficient. They can win their lane. They're super safe. They're good team fighters. They all kind of got their laning phase nerfed, which opens up more picks that might favor C9 style a bit better. You know, the all-in champions like Kled, maybe even Jax, Camille, Renekton's been a pick that's getting a lot of play lately. So I think all those picks benefit a lot from, you know, having proximity with your team, and they're not as self-sufficient because, you know, if you're playing Renekton, you go in on the guy and their jungler is there, you're going to have bad time. So, you know, maybe just in this meta, it could be C9 favored.
That's what I'm curious to see. Like, do they pick up the Camille top for Licorice because he has played it in the past and it's good into Aatrox? We saw Rune destroy Doklo on it. We saw Renekton as well played a lot into Aatrox potentially. So I think they're
too soon, man. Too soon.
Dude, I let that just go.
I wasn't done talking yet. I'm sure he'll have a great comeback. But I think it's one of those things where there are a lot more options into the Aatrox. If you're willing to take the risk to find a counter pick and then actually play to it. So that's kind of another point in the favor. But if they don't do that or they fail to execute on it, like, Impact will crush them.
That the Camille specifically is something that I've been complaining about for North America for 2 weeks now. Why we don't have more of our top laners playing this champion is absolutely dominating in LCK and super popular across the world. And yet we only have that one ruin game of Camille. It got banned out one time in the previous series. But besides that, I feel like it's such a good playmaking champion that would play into the style, at least for Cloud9. I don't think it fits into Team Liquid's kind of game plan, but the mobility on this champion, you know, if you're able to come from the top lane with a champion that can engage from that far and find pickoffs in the jungle, it's really difficult as a jungler to deal with a Camille that got any sort of lead in the top lane, because she invades you, jumps over your wall, and actually just 100% you at your own buff.
Right. Camille can definitely be strong. And I think, kind of like I was touching on before, she's one of those champions that benefits a lot from having, you know, jungle proximity or even mid lane roams. And in North America, I guess we just don't see that style as much because of, like, the cost of that kind of gank. Because when I'm playing jungle, you know, say the first dragon's Ocean, right? If I show top one time, it's kind of like a death sentence. It's just, okay, you know, there goes the Ocean Drake, yeah, and all your lanes are lost. So I think that a lot of teams in North America, especially Liquid, do favor playing around bottom side just because, you know, a lot of time you can make sacrifices top. It's like, all right, you know, we're not really going to be able to help you this game. Just play safe, you know, maybe back off turret, lose a plate, but we'll get dragon control. We'll get...
Is this the talk that you've had with Dokla many times? Listen, you know, just back off. You're going to have to sacrifice some plates. I'm not coming up there.
Yeah, I think it's the talk a lot of teams have because...
Every solo queue top laner gets the talk.
No. To be fair, a lot of you,
the question mark things when you're doing.
No. Here's how it goes. If the first strike's Ocean, your top laner is the one telling you. They say, "Don't come top, yeah, dude. Get that Ocean, or the game's over." So
that's true.
Yeah,
it's interesting because LCK, you know, for example, has been very top lane prevalent, right? Like they've been playing way more heavily through top, whereas, you know, NA does still feel much more bot lane and dragon centric. So it will be interesting to see if more people are going to be bringing out, you know, the Camille, even like Uni talking about third place match. Like that was someone that I was expecting to actually be bringing it out even last weekend, because he certainly seems like that kind of a player. I do think Licorice, you know, could bring it out as well, which would be pretty exciting. And I think it works really well for like, you know, jungle top type of 2v2s, is right, like it's like you're saying, you can invade, you can go for split push type win conditions, which C9 likes to play, I think, side lanes a lot as well. So I think that could work well for them if they're worried about, you know, impact going heavily to Aatrox. So
I do know that one reason you don't see Camille blinded a lot is the GP matchup is borderline unplayable for Camille. GP just Aatrox, I think, completely wins 1v1. So yeah, that'd be kind of hard. And I know both these top laners do play a lot of GP.
Yeah, Jax can also be really good in the Camille.
Yeah.
Like, early is more of 50-50, but late game is pretty tuned.
Yeah.
And we're still on 9-15, so Jax didn't get the mega buff, you know, basically flattening the cooldown on Q. But I think it'd still be an answer. But, man, I can't wait for 9-16.
Stop talking about it.
All right, we've got another question here. This one comes from Nick. He says, who do you think TL will be targeting with blue side bans? For example, he's saying maybe Niski's assassin pool.
I think that something mid jungles most likely for me. I think that, you know, you can ban out the Qiyana. If you don't want to deal with it, you could ban out Gragas, something like that, just to get an edge in that mid jungle 2v2, because I think that if C9 can, you know, get an advantage from mid lane, Niski's just so good at transferring it to any of the other lanes that even if you're winning bot by a little bit, when you have a mid laner showing up every wave, it's pretty unplayable.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. At least, like, it feels like when people have been playing against C9 recently, it's either been like the Gragas or the Yasuo is getting banned. I think people are pretty frightened, it seems like, of that combo still. C9 played that earlier in the season. Their academy was playing it a ton. But yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be probably mid jungle is where I would assume most of the bans would go.
What were the CLG bans? It was Yasuo. There was three mid bans. It was Yasuo, Akali, and maybe Silas or something like that. I think there were three mid bans that they were doing.
Yumi was getting banned red side as well, I believe.
Yeah, red side, but blue side, I think it was when CLG was blue side, there was three bans at Niski. And so I wouldn't be surprised if it was something similar to that, maybe the Gragas, like you're saying.
I do think, like you said, Akali, I think she's going to be a super contested pick in the series. It does seem like right now in this patch, she's just kind of either a ban or first pick champion, because after her recent changes, where they nerfed her ulti and her W a little bit, but they compensated with a lot of base stats buffs, that I think it actually ended up being an overall buff to the champ.
Yeah.
So she's very strong right now, and both teams have shown that they can play it well.
Yeah. Pretty much across the world, Akali is pick ban. I think Aatrox is really high up there as well. Silas is probably 1-2 on 950, so there's a lot of pretty high priority, because if you add Yumi into that, then you're already juggling a lot of like really high priority you know, bans for the first phase.
That's why we haven't talked about it yet, but the coaching staffs bans, as well as coming in with good prep, as well as between games. I don't know how much you guys feel like it factors into a best of five series, because it's something that we don't get to see quite as obvious. It's like, ah, this player inted this game, that's why they lost. But like the I feel like the prep and those kinds of things are also super important. So is there a coaching staff that, based off historical record, that you have a favorite?
Well, I know that C9 has just been layering on their Koreans and their coaching staff. They had Reaper, then Rapid Star, then Rainover, and now Piglet.
Is he with them or not? I remember we saw him outside the studio talking to a bunch of the C9 guys, but then I think he's with them.
Yeah, I heard he was.
Okay. I think he is.
Yeah.
I also saw him yesterday, like with the Clutch coaching staff talking to them, so I couldn't tell.
He's just a super fan.
He used to be on Clutch, so I didn't know if he was still like on the coaching staff for Clutch or if he was released and then went to C9.
I believe he's with C9.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Okay.
So they definitely have a lot of coaches.
Each game, they just go to their coach. Everyone just splits up.
Have you ever talked to Rainover that much about jungling? Because, you know, he's been with them for a while now. And Spence Garen did talk about how he added a lot, at least when he first joined.
I actually never had a lot of conversations with Rainover personally. Like when me and him were playing, we were kind of competitors, so yeah. We didn't want to share strats too much. But I know he's a really smart guy, and so I assume he brings a lot of value to the team.
Yeah, I mean, Kane obviously on the other side, one coach of the split, right? You know, TL has had, I think. It's different because it's like they're two, I think, very different approaches and two different very, very different teams, right? Reaper, one of the things I've always loved about what they have done with Cloud9 is their creativity and their willingness to actually try new things and to bring out new strategies. And that is one of the reasons that I think they're always kind of credited with having success internationally, right? Is people always talk about, oh, well, you get to Worlds and the other teams don't adapt, but C9 does, and that's why they do great. People like to point to that, but at the same time, I think, you know, Kane clearly, like, TL is becoming a dynasty, right? They've won 3 straight, they're going for 4 straight, which no one has ever done, and I don't think that you're really able to accomplish that without a really good coach. I know that a lot of TL players, from talking to them, have a tremendous amount of respect for Kane, because not only, you know, is he really intelligent about the game, but he's also, you know, goes between master and challenger and solo queue.
Like, he's grandmaster last time I checked.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, he's actively an extremely high rated solo queue player, which I think has kind of built up more respect and kind of more trust with the team. So he's someone that they have a lot of faith in as a team, and I think that is so, so important that, you know, he's built up that respect where, you know, he can tell them to play a pick, and whether they want to play it or not, they are going to believe that it is the right one. And I think Sona is a funny example.
Double of space when they locked in Sona in the last match.
That was hilarious. He's just like, oh god.
I mean, I was glad they picked that. There was a couple questions that
Dola
I saw.
Hates playing Sona.
I know,
so
but
who doesn't hate playing Sona?
But like people who like to win.
Fans are even complaining, like, oh, I hate that they picked Sona. It's like, why are you mad they picked Sona? Like, if you're a TL fan, you should be so happy because it puts pressure on other teams to keep banning it, because the one time it's let through, they pick it and they smash on it. So like,
and it's not even really
people
meta
aren't
anymore.
Happy, it's just lame.
I don't care. You want to win.
It's not even popular anymore.
Yeah, doesn't make it less lame.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I have no counter argument here. But it wins.
Yeah, that's why I like sometimes. Whenever I see people complain about it, I'm like, come on.
C9 did beat Liquid when Liquid was on Sona, though.
Yeah, they did in regular season.
Yeah.
That was the Azure game. But I mean, that laning phase actually went so well for TL. Like, they were actually winning the 2v2 with Sona Tahm Kench, which is not really supposed to happen. But that was, I think, more like, well, Qiyana was so far ahead and their mid jungle was super strong, and that kind of got them lead. Sneaky did play really well, you know, in later game team fights and ended up getting really strong. But it is certainly possible to beat. But I do always think that it is an advantage for TL. Like, if they're one of the only teams that are playing this and they keep drawing Sona bans, it's not as though they are dependent upon the pick, right? Like, they can very comfortably play a lot of different bottom lane stuff. And one of the things that I think has always actually made a really big difference for TL and been one of the reasons that they have gone to that so much is that CoreJJ is actually a really good farming support. And I think, you know, it actually makes a really big difference that he used to play bot lane. Like, he used to be the AD. A lot of the supports are not nearly as comfortable at actually CSing. And you'll see, like, when he is playing, like, the Tahm Kench or the Taric and farming early in the game, he consistently has way more farm than most supports are actually getting. And I think it's one of the big reasons that their 2v2 does so well with this pick, because it's a role that, like, most of these support players are never actually in and I think are less comfortable having. And I know talking to Double, if he gave CoreJJ a lot of credit for that as well. He's like, yeah, that's one of the big reasons, because he farmed so well because he used to play AD. Like, that was, he was at that level as a pro player.
I remember seeing some games where CoreJJ is actually out farming the other team's AD carry on support, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
don't know. I just hope they keep picking it as long as it's not like actually becomes a trash can strategy. Just because like people hype G2 and even Clutch like, oh yeah, they're so good with Rumble, you have to ban it. And then like people don't talk about the Sona that way just because it's boring and lame. But it has the same strategic effect where it's like it's this thing that other people aren't playing that you have to deal with. And it's
Team Liquid's yeah, hype. These audience wanting entertainment.
It's not what it's about.
Well, I think when the player playing the champion himself actively just trash talks it and says nerf this champion into the ground, it takes away from a little bit of the mystique of oh my god, it's double F Sona. And he's like, I hate Sona, get her out of the game.
G2 should have said the same stuff with Pyke.
Yeah. Okay, what's harder to play, Pyke or Sona?
Sona.
No. Dude, Pyke, wrong. Try again.
Pyke is so easy. You get poked out. You go, ah, whatever.
This is not an opinion.
No skill
question.
Shots.
Sona, if you misposition, you're dead. You don't have a gap closer. Pyke just ease mm-hmm. out of the way. You can't chase him. You get hit by the undertow.
You know,
it's easy.
When double ups on Sona, he hits almost every Q.
You know, when I played Pyke and I sat in the practice room for hours and I just practiced that QE cancel, that's nearly impossible. Pyke's way harder.
You're right.
You're right.
Now you've got the correct
just because I couldn't
well
do
done,
the QE
Mark.
Combo consistently. That's why. Yeah.
Do you guys think, because there's really big stakes coming into this, right? You know, Team Liquid looking to be the first team for the four-peat, you know, four wins in the LCS in a row. Cloud9 haven't won in over 5 years. I think it was 5 years, 4 months, and some amount of days left over. Would you rather be the one coming in, you know, as kind of like the underdog looking to take down these, you know, think they're too good for everybody else, Team Liquid style, back-to-back winners, you know, paid by Steve type of thing? Would you rather be in the Cloud9 shoes, or would you rather be the defending champions coming in, business as usual?
I would normally prefer to be the underdog, where it's like, oh, we have no pressure on us because there's not that many expectations, but I don't feel like that's quite the C9 story. I feel like they do have a fair amount of expectations because they're supposed to be one of NA's, you know, greatest orgs up there. You know, it's CLG, TL, TSM, and C9, but C9 hasn't won in 5 years. They go to finals and consistently lose, and there's like this curse that feels like it's building up around their finals appearances. And so like that starts adding pressure, and it's not quite just like scrappy underdog who knew we were gonna make it, to like you're expected to finally win one of these. When is it gonna happen?
About time. Yes.
Yeah, like so I feel like in some ways there's almost just as much pressure on as TL, where it's like we're already NA's best team probably, and you know you want to win, they're gonna win, but even if they lose, I don't think it's suddenly like this big like shift in the public mindset where it's like they suck now or something. I that's how I feel, at least.
I feel like I would rather be C9 coming into this game just because like I think your points are right, but at the same time like this match actually doesn't mean that much for TL. Like sure, they get their, you know, four titles in a row, no one's done that before, it's really impressive, but at the same time if they lose they're still going to Worlds.
Yep.
Like it doesn't really change anything for them, whereas I feel like C9, it matters more for them as an organization because there are some stats saying like Sneaky's lost his last five finals he's been to, and that's pretty hard. So I feel like they just have, you know, a huge drive to win that TL might not have.
Yeah,
they're
so
just kind of like
more pressure, but more,
you know,
reason as well.
Either way, right. Like they're just bored of winning.
I don't know if you get bored of winning.
Maybe not.
I don't think you get bored of winning. I still think it matters a lot. Oh, that was actually kind of a dig there. TL, it's like it's still important for them because I think, you know, for the org, it is important to kind of reach that mark and to have done something that no other team has ever done. I think is kind of special. Plus, you know, talking to the players, their goals certainly are Worlds and success internationally, and I think that they want, you know, a high level of competition and to try to like rise to that level of competition. You know, even like the ProView stuff at the beginning of Split Double, talking about how he's happy with ProView because it can expose the bad players and get them out of the league. Like, he wants competition, and I think that, you know, that is a driving force for this team. You know, C9 has made a finals every single year since they've won. They just have never won, right? And that is those five finals that you've talked about, Sneaky getting second place in five times in a row, which obviously, you know, is pretty tough. But I also think that it is a little bit harder for C9 because Niski, as far as I know, has never played in the finals, right? Like, Niski doesn't actually have experience on that level, so that's going to be, you know, his first time, I think, playing with that much pressure. And also going up against Jensen, you know, there's a lot of comparisons that are going to be happening there, so I think there's going to be added pressure because of that. So, you know, it may be a little bit harder for C9 as a result.
I always like the discussions around pressure that come up when we have situations like this, you know, players on a stage they've never been on, and you know, it being super big, because I feel like people kind of deal with it in a different manner.
Yeah,
I get super excited when I'm going to, you know, some match or something that I haven't been to. It definitely does affect me, you know, on the stage game or something too. You know, I'm a little bit more risk prone. Are you a guy that gets more excited, Minos? You've been doing it for a long time, and maybe you're just always calm. Nothing really gets your
ice
heart pumping.
I don't know if it affects me too much. Sometimes in best of series, like, the momentum can matter a little bit more. Like, if you're winning, you feel really good. If you're losing, you can feel kind of, like, desperate or hopeless.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it just kind of feels like another game.
It's always interesting because you have no idea how it's going to affect you until you're playing, right? Yeah. And I think that it does affect every player differently, and that's why sometimes you'll have players come in as a rookie and have immediate success, and you'll have other players that it almost feels like they have this like mental block, you know, on a certain stage where they get too nervous or they get, you know, too risk averse, or maybe they're trying to force plays too much, whatever it is. People all handle it differently, and that's always something that I think is scary when you're creating a team, because you have no idea how someone is going to handle that stage until they're sitting on that stage and playing, yeah, right? And I think that's something that Nissi won't know until he plays, right? I
mean, even beyond pressure of like the moment and the narratives that we're talking about, also just playing in a venue that's huge, yeah, and you have to deal with like the stage that is surrounded by people. The look is different. You can sometimes feel
like us right now, Mark.
Oh my god, there are people here.
You feel okay?
You know, but like the stage vibe, you've heard people talk about how like when there's like a kill and the bass plays and the crowd's going crazy, you can almost like feel the vibrations. Like, was that ever something that mattered to you, or were you also able to block that out?
So I think the only time that really comes into play is when you're playing against TSM, because those chants are so loud. Like, yeah, you have noise canceling headsets, but when it's so loud, it starts coming through your microphone and playing back into all your headsets.
Yes.
Then it's kind of distracting. But aside from that, obviously, you know, there's a lot of energy. It's pretty exciting, but I don't think it's going to affect anyone like that negatively.
Mm. I mean, we did get... that's why I really liked the teaser that they made for the finals, where Niski is saying, why are you even comparing me to Jensen? Like, who? What has Jensen really done? If you're comparing me to Faker or something, then that would be something.
So funny,
and I was like, oh my god, look at that fire. Like, you can tell the attitude that he has going into it. I think you're right about what will happen on stage.
It's just funny, though, because it's like, I love the trash talk and I love the promo, but Niski's flaming Jensen like, oh, what has he ever accomplished? Niski, you've never played in the finals before. Jensen was in the MSI finals, world semifinals, made it to groups at Worlds a bunch of times. He's never even gone to Worlds. So I did think it was a little bit funny. I love this trash talk. Niski has been amazing this split, but it was like, oh, what has he done? Well, here's his resume.
He missed the layup, too. The layup insult is like, oh, he had to leave to go get a trophy. He had to get carried in double lifts, like, bag to a final victory. And I'm going to go get C9 their first one since, you know, the old days. Like, I was like, you missed the layup trash talk and went for this weird thing that doesn't even...
To be fair, though, to Niski, I saw him yesterday, and he was like, they made me go first, and Jensen got to see my trash talk and then think of his trash talk after. So you're saying it was rigged.
Yeah, that sounds pretty rigged.
It was pretty rigged, yeah.
All right, trash talk time is over. Are you ready for some predictions, then?
Yeah, you can go first, Kobe.
All right, I think that it is going to be Team Liquid getting their fourth championship. I do think it's going to be close. Well, I changed my mind. You know, honestly, after consulting with a lot of the stats and reviewing, I decided, you know, it's going to be Cloud9 for sure. It's quite obvious. No. I do think Team Liquid's still going to take it for some reason. I think it's because so many times we've seen Cloud9 fail in these finals. You know, I always come in with so much hope and so much belief, and Reaper's going to do so much in the best of five. Mm-hmm. You know, rotating in their substitutes, they've always done that really well, changing around champ select. But in the end, Team Liquid wins.
I mean, Devils has won, I think it's something like 14 playoff series in a row now. So there is something to be said for that. I mean, he's been absolutely
dominant. But people clearly want a new champion, right? Yeah. People want underdogs to win.
And I actually do feel like this is the year. I think Cloud9 is actually going to win. I mean, they 2-0 them in the regular season. I think since Garen won MVP, he's playing incredibly well. And I think that we have seen, you know, kind of the formula to victory throughout the regular season when they both games they play them playing so heavily through mid, you know, with these interesting picks. I think that we can expect more of that to be prepared from Cloud9, you know, more picks along these lines of the Vhagar, of the Qiyana that actually got them those wins in the regular season. If they can get, you know, that mid lane 2v2 advantage, whether it's getting kills there or just having pressure, we have seen how they can actually transition that to the bot lane. And if you're being 4-man, 5-man bot, all of a sudden your 2v2 advantage doesn't really matter anymore. So I think so much of the game can be decided around mid, and I think that C9 are going to have the edge there.
I'm glad you went with the fan favorite because I kept egging it on, but I actually think Team Liquid's going to win as well. But it's like Kobe saying, we're like, yeah, all the points you're saying are right. You know, like, I agree with everything you're saying.
But double lift.
But the historical context, I feel like you can't just ignore it and how good they've been. And yes, C9 look better in the semifinals. They have the blueprint. They have the 2-0 in the regular season. But just last split, there was that kind of triangle between TSM beating C9 beating Team Liquid, and I forget what it was, but basically the whole thing flipped. The whole thing flipped in playoffs. It was one triangle.
There was a triangle, though.
There was a triangle. There was at least a couple teams involved.
There's three.
Someone in the comments on YouTube will explain my point better than I am right now. But the point was there was a triangle in spring and regular season that got flipped in playoffs.
And now it's a circle, and the circles roll.
I think it's like Illuminati. Team Liquid win. Is that
Team Liquid wins? Okay, there you go.
Medios, bring us home. Balance it out.
I think it's going to be C9 for sure. You know, I actually think it's going to be a 3-1. Like, a 3-2 would be cool, but, like, for me, I think that C9 is just looking really strong right now. And just, I think the meta fits them a bit better. And, you know, we were talking about, like, pressure on stage, and Jensen is one of those players that, like, is known to be affected by being on the big stage, like, having these high-pressure games. And so, yeah, I think C9 just going to take it.
All right, we got 2 versus 2 for the finals prediction. Then that is going to do it for this episode of The Dive Live. Thank everyone for joining us.
Thank you to all these beautiful people for coming out.
We are going to have a live Q&A later, and we are also going to have Jax Anderson playing us out today. Be sure to catch Jax for the opening ceremony for the LCS finals as well on Sunday beginning at 4 p.m. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming.